am delighted to be joined by Bernie Dwan. And you may recognise the name because she does a show here every second Tuesday from 6 till 7. It's the A to Z of Historical Blunders. And I think it's a great programme. It's basically going through all of our history right through and showing how we've repeated things over and over and over again, and we just seem to keep doing it, don't we? So the reason I have Bernie in is they've taken the history from being one of the core subjects, and now it's going to be, you can choose to do history if you wish. And I mean, there was it last year, they took the geography from the curricula, and now they're taking history. How do you feel about this? I know you're not a history teacher at the moment, but you were.
I was a history teacher.
You graduated as. Yeah. And do we not need to know all of the sins of the past to help us through to the future? You know, is this going to be a catastrophic change, you know?
Well, it could be catastrophic. First of all, yeah, to be clear, so history is no longer a compulsory or a core subject at junior cert level. So it's discretionary from now on. Can I just quote, would you mind, from JF Kennedy? He said, "History is a relentless master. It has no present, only the past rushing into the future. To try to hold fast is to be swept aside." And really, that's any history class I ever gave, I always put that up first on a PowerPoint, because the thing is, too many of us are living in the now. We're living for the next shiny new thing on Facebook or YouTube or Netflix, and really not understanding the past affects us and how our actions then affects the future is important. And we see this, you know, with Brexit and with the election of President Trump. So really, it's our responsibility as teachers and adults to teach the coming generations history, because they need to be engaged in critical thinking. They need to be able to form an opinion based on balanced research, and they need to be not influenced by biased journalism, you know. And you can't be a responsible voter even if you don't know your history. So even from a responsibility point of view, it's important to know your history.
And why do you think now that they've come and taken it away as one of the core subjects, that it's now going to be a choice for people?
Okay, so I think it's because, now I'm not against STEM subjects, right? STEM subjects are very important.
Yes.
Science, technology, engineering, mathematics, they're very important. And indeed, STEM subjects have their history as well, you know? I mean, engineering just wasn't a discipline that started, you know, 40, 50 years ago. Engineering has a history, you know, going back thousands of years. Science has its history. So, I mean, history is not just the study of the past. Every subject has its own history, and that's important to remember as well. So I suppose from a governmental point of view, they see STEM subjects as providing employment. But of course, what they have to realise is that an awful lot of global organisations and multinational companies are looking for people who can engage in critical thinking, who are good at communication skills, who can wade through tons of information and just pull out the essence or the important thing and pass it on to someone else. They are very, very important skills. And these skills of critical thinking and analysis are highly sought after. And you're hearing it more and more now, you know, when you're looking at careers fairs and when you're listening to CEOs of big companies speaking. They're saying, we just don't want, you know, narrow people. We want people who can think laterally, who are broad and broadly educated, you know. So just even to look, I was having a quick look at the Junior Cert history paper last night in anticipation of this.
Very good.
And, you know, I mean, it's very interesting that one of the little questions they ask on the short answer questions is, why do historians prefer to obtain information from more than one source? So, I mean, that's important, because it means you don't just go and listen to Fox News if you want to know what's going on in America. You don't just listen to CNN either, by the way. So Fox News or pro-Trump. They're Trump supporters, and they support everything he does. Mm. So if you're only listening to Fox News, you're getting biased news. Mm. If you're only listening to CNN, they're pouring all their energy into being anti-Trump, which is probably a mistake as well, because they should save some of that energy maybe for, you know, talking about other things. So it's all about heated debate now, and people giving opinions on things. You can't, you know, there used to be a time when you turn on the television and the news journalists would tell you the news and explain what happened. Now more and more we turn on our televisions and we're faced with these exasperated journalists rolling their eyes and telling us how shocked they are by what's happened or how they feel. It's all about how they feel, not about how we feel. So if we were more trained in thinking from an historical perspective, we wouldn't get so wrapped up in feelings, and we get more engaged with critical thinking and with researching the information from all sides and forming our own opinions. It's all about training young people to do the right research in the right way, to be critical thinkers, and to form their own opinions based on that.
Yeah.
And can I just give you another one example here that I thought was very interesting? Again, it's on the Junior Cert history paper. You're asked to describe what the Nuremberg Laws were.
Right.
Now, that's very, very important, you know, especially. So in case, just to remind some of the listeners, maybe the Nuremberg Laws were introduced by Hitler in the late 1930s in Germany. And they were laws that really... There were reprehensible laws that made life impossible for Jewish people living there. It's important for people to know that this happened then, because there's a terribly worrying rise of anti-Semitism in Europe now as we speak. There's a rise in right-wing political parties all across Europe, you know, in Italy, in France, in Austria, in Holland, in Sweden. All these very right-wing conservative anti-Semitic parties. So... You know, it's important for people to know that this happened before and to educate ourselves, because these are the people voting. You know, if you're voting for these parties, you need to know what you're voting for, you know, and it's just so important. And if you look at like someone like Trump, he's been described as who was a Bernie Sanders just at the weekend. What did he describe Trump as? He said something like, he was the most worrisome anyway. He was the president we should all most worry about anyway. I can't remember his exact words, you know, because President Trump doesn't know his history. You know, he barely has enough vocabulary to, you know, talk about what's going on at the moment, you know.
But there's an awful lot of people that are just so for him. And then you've the other side, as you say, the CNN, who are just so against.
Yeah.
But even nowadays, when we're checking on Google and we're checking anything to do any research for even this program or whatever, you don't just take everything just as seen, and you do have to check, you know, the likes of Snoop's and maybe other sites to make sure, is it actually factual, you know, first of all, and then, you know, or is it just somebody's opinion or somebody just trying to get this out into the mainstream?
That is so important. You're absolutely right, and that's really, really important. So what I would always say to students, history students or journalism students, you know, you don't blindly, you know, bang in like the monkey on the typewriter, you know, bang in searches into Google. And I hate that phrase, Google it. You know, I cringe when I hear someone saying, oh, I'll Google it. So really what you should do is go to a reputable site. So go to a university history department website. Go to a national library of a country, or the museums, or a proper organisation, the United Nations, the World Health Organization. Go to the place that knows what they're talking about and has the qualified people, you know, putting content up for them. You know, that's what you need to do. And don't just... If you blindly Google and you come back with some, you know, barroom historian who has a blog about something that he or she is you know, transfixed with at some level, you know, so that's not a good idea. I just have two other interesting examples here on the Junior Cert history paper, seems we're talking about that. Select one of the people described below and write about them. This is very good because it makes students think outside the box. So the first one is, describe a unionist living in Ulster who opposed home rule. in the early 20th century. So that's making students not always think of Ireland as a victim. Now, I'm not saying that we weren't at many levels, but put yourself inside someone else's head. Put yourself inside a unionist's head and ask yourself, well, why? Why do they not want to be part of a 32 county Ireland? You know, it's not just a random feeling they have. They have reasons for it. Mm. So I know why I want to be part. So let me understand where they're coming from as well. It's so important, and especially with all this talk now about you know, fear about the border coming back into play with, you know, with a possible, you know, if Brexit, if there's a no deal Brexit. So it's important for people to understand the origins of the troubles in Northern Ireland, to know why people are worried about that. And just another interesting one here is, describe a member, or write about a member of the Nazi party explaining how Hitler came to power. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Do you know why did that person feel that party was okay to join? What? Why did they feel threatened? Why did they? You know, get inside their head and see how they felt. You know, you're not agreeing with them. You're just trying to understand why they felt compelled to vote in a certain way or to join a certain organisation. You know, and that's history.
Yes.
And it's important because the past affects our future. What we do today affects our children and our grandchildren.
Well, it definitely does. But by giving people a choice, then are we not having that? We might have a lot of people in the future, young people now, don't do history, and they go through then to the future, and they will not know the sins of the fathers, and they will not know these type of catastrophic things that happened in history, to maybe, of course, with your show, you just show that we do the blunders again and again. So, you know, they may come along and do the same things.
Yes.
But without having any of that knowledge of what went back, I mean, even with the Brexit, there's an awful lot of English people don't actually know the history of Ireland and the history of what went on there.
And that came out. Not just citizens, like politicians as well, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And just when you talk about catastrophic things, there was a survey done by the Holocaust Memorial Trust there in early February. And it was, there was an article written by it about it by Harriet Sherwood in the Guardian newspaper. Now, the headline, the name of the story is, 1 in 20 Britons does not believe Holocaust took place.
Wow.
Now, that has to be one of the most worrying poll results so far in 2019. So it was the poll was taken as part of marking Holocaust Memorial Day. But I don't like listing statistics, but I'll just give you a few here. The poll found that 1 in 3 people knew little or nothing about the Holocaust. Right?
Goodness.
5% said they had never heard of it. Can you imagine?
No, never
heard of the Holocaust. I mean, that's unbelievable. In France, now this is a country where Marine Le Pen and her Nationalist Party are gaining traction all the time. And where just recently, you know, Jewish cemeteries were defaced. So in France, 20% of those aged 18 to 34, said they had never heard of the Holocaust. So these are people who've gone through secondary education, and many of them have gone through university if they're 24 or 34.
Gosh.
Sorry. I never heard of the... Can you imagine? You know, I mean, that is so worrying. And in Austria, another country where right-wing party is gaining traction, the figure was 12%, okay? And then finally, in the United States... Now, you know, we used to laugh at the United States, you know, the way they thought, you know, Africa was one big country. You know, you talk about geography being important, which it is, to know your sense of place. 9% of millennials said they had never heard of the Holocaust, or they weren't sure. They said, I'm not really sure whether I've heard about it or not. Okay, so I mean, that is very worrying.
So they're not being taught it anyway, even if the history is in place, then they're not being taught it.
Taught, or it's not getting enough time. They might get a day or two on it, or maybe it's not part of their curriculum, or maybe they were out that day, maybe they're not listening. It's not, you know, it's not being given pride of place. It should be given more attention this very, very important subject, you know, needs to be given a lot more attention, you know, it really does. But the good news about that poll, though, is that at least, you know, you were shocked by those results. But 83% of those who were questioned said, agreed that, yes, it is important. You know, we do think it's important now that we realise. We do think it's important to know about the Holocaust. And 76% believed, yes, more needs to be done to educate people. Okay? So, I mean, it's so important. I mean, Europe is such a complicated continent, really. When you look at the whole eastern part of Europe, that was part of the USSR for so many years. And do people know, you know, there's a different kind of vibe in these countries because they've been through such a rough time, and their rough history, their hard times are a lot closer you know, than for us. You know, it was only in the late 80s and the 90s that they started coming out of the former Soviet Union, so they had an awful lot of catching up to do. You know, and a lot of they went backwards before they came forwards again, because they lost so much when they left the Soviet Union. They were minded by a big monolith, you know, and they had to find themselves again as democratic countries. So, I mean, lots of young Irish people can probably name all these countries, you know, because they go to football matches there. But, you know, they have more than football teams, you know.
Yeah.
They have histories, you know, and they have cultures.
But then again, from their perspective, everybody would have, you know, they would have been taught history in a different way,
yes,
and in a different perspective,
yeah,
looking at it from their point of view,
yes, yeah,
you know, and in that way then we're all getting different opinions yet,
yes,
again,
yeah,
you
yeah
know,
and that's
yeah
why I suppose we're so lucky. We're so lucky to be living in a democracy, you know, where we can make decisions, and I suppose that's why it's so important for us to get that message out there to Minister McHugh, Minister for Education and Skills. You know, that one of the important parts of being in a democracy is that we are privileged to learn our history in an unbiased way, do you know? Whereas if you were living in North Korea, you wouldn't have that privilege, you know?
Definitely not.
They're not allowed to do that, you know, so they can't really make decisions, you know. Well, it's not a democracy. They're not going to be voting anyway, you know, but they're living in cloud cuckoo land.
But they're just spoon-fed whatever he wants them to hear.
Yeah, yeah, whereas it's a different case altogether in a privileged democracy like we're in. And that's why it's so disappointing that, you know, that Holocaust Trust Memorial poll, they stopped on the streets of democratic countries, you know, like Britain and America and France and Austria, you know, and people don't know about the Holocaust.
Yeah.
So it's very worrying. And then just I'm looking here at the back page of the exam, the 2018 Junior Cert examination paper, and there's some very interesting topics that students have to write about. And one of them is the rise of the superpowers. Now, we can't understand where we are now if we don't understand about the Cold War, you know, how our world was reshaped after World War II.
Yeah.
You know, we need to know the role that Stalin played and Russia and the Soviet Union. We need to know the role America played and the rest of Europe and Asia. So it's very important because that colours the way our world is now. Even though the Soviet Union broke up, we need to understand America's relationship with the former Soviet Union, and now it's back to being Russia again. And of course, that's been coloured again with Trump and Putin. So we need another thing they have to study is our move towards European unity. How did it happen? Why did all those countries decide to get together and form the European Union? And again, it's important to know that when you think about Brexit, you know, how is Brexit going to impact on Ireland and on the rest of the European Union? And finally, an interesting one, quite a new topic on the Junior Cert is African and Asian nationalism. I think sometimes we forget that there's other continents out there, who have their own history that we're probably not up to speed enough on. You know, we probably know big ones like, you know, Pol Pot in Cambodia and the Vietnam War and that, but there's a lot more. So again, that all comes back to colonization. You know, when you're looking at Africa and at Asia, a lot of their history results from being colonized by European countries. And I suppose that's one thing Ireland can be proud of. We never colonized another country, you know. So it's important to know that, and because that's what shaped those countries and that's what brought them to where they are now, even though a lot of them got their independence, you know, have been getting their independence from the late 50s, early 60s onwards. But there's just one recent example I was looking at in Cameroon. Cameroon was colonised by France and by Britain. So they have French-speaking and English-speaking people in that country. But the French had the upper hand. So the French speakers have the upper hand in running the country, and the English speakers in Cameroon are marginalised. They're being pushed to the side, and they're not being included enough in politics and in decision making. So there's kind of a little almost, there's certainly some form of aggression starting between them because of that, you know. But you need to know that that all comes back to colonisation, you know, when you're looking at that. So everything has a past. The present is a result of it, and it'll impact on the future.
But so in your own opinion then, we'll go back to opinions here because that's what I have you here for. In your opinion, with regards to taking the history, and I know, yes, as you say, about the STEM subjects, and they're very important, but do you think this is a good move or a bad move?
Oh, it's a bad move. It's a bad move. Now, I don't like forcing people to do subjects if they don't want to do them. You know, I don't think that's a good idea either, because then what you do is you turn them against the subject altogether. You know, like many of my generation were forced to do Irish, so we switched off, you know, and you certainly don't want to do that with history. So, you know, I'm looking here at the curriculum for the Junior Cert, and it's very broad and it's very interesting and it's very engaging. And I know that there's all kinds of, you know, history teaching organisations out there, and you know, the history teachers are great, and a lot of them are so young and so enthusiastic, and I think anyone who went to the trouble of doing a degree in history at university is going to love their subjects, and they're going to bring that love with them into the classroom, you know. So maybe I don't know what way to go. This looks like a very interesting curriculum, but there's so much more, you know. They use photography, they use documents. Read that, tell me what's going on in that picture. You know, why does that person look angry at that protest? You know, how does that person feel, you know, keeping day 10 of their diary on a coffin ship going to America during the Irish famine? So they're being, it's not all about facts and books. It's not, you know, and nobody should think that. And really, it hasn't been, you know, learning facts out of books for a long time, you know. So it's getting better and better. But I suppose hopefully there are enough kind of broad thinking and clever people out there who can think of ways of engaging students and getting them more involved, you know, maybe looking at histories of different cultures or local history. There's so many ways you can do it, but maybe broaden out the choice maybe as well, so that you'll catch everyone in the net. You know, there's nothing wrong with looking at the history of a local football club, you know, in your local area, because maybe it started back before World War One. Maybe all the fellas who were on the teams were pals, and they all went off to the trenches together to the Battle of Ypres. Maybe most of them were killed, you know. So there's more. There's history is attached to everything you know, everything. Try and imagine who was standing at a bus stop. I used to do that a lot when I was younger. I'd be standing at a bus stop, and I used to close my eyes and try and imagine who would have been standing at this bus stop 30 years ago, you know, and what would they have been wearing?
Yes.
And what would they have been talking about? What would be in their school bag or their shopping bag? You know, it's all history.
Yes. But do you think then that there's not going to be as many people then going to become history teachers because there's not the need then for?
Well, no, I probably don't think that, because I think anyone who wants to do history will do history anyway, you know. It's more I suppose if you make it non-compulsory up to junior cert, what you're doing is you're denying people the opportunity to understand why their country or their world is the way it is now. Mm. So really, if they're not going to be going to the library or looking at reputable sites on the internet or talking to their parents or their grandparents, what you're going to have is a generation of irresponsible voters. Because if you don't know, voters need to know their history. If you don't know your history, you're going to be an irresponsible voter, because you're only living in the now, you know? And the now is, you know, in 5 minutes' time, this now will be gone, do you know? So we need to understand the past, think about what we're doing now, and see how that impacts on the future. And of course, that's most important for 12 to 15 year olds, you know, because they're going to be taking over the mantle. We're not going to be here forever, you know?
That's true.
Yeah. So it's very important.
Mm. So we'll wait and see then how this develops with the next generation. It'll be next year's pupils now. They'll get the choice that they don't have to do history.
Yeah, and I don't know when the actual, actually now that you say it, I don't know when the actual measure came in.
Right.
So I don't know if the decision, so the decision was made to that history would no longer be a compulsory or core subject at junior cert level. So there must be schools already where you can choose, you know.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know PE is coming in as a subject coding, computer programming is coming in as a subject. And I have a big problem with that myself, because I think, you know, coding is changes all the time. You know, it's not something, new methodologies, new languages come in. So really, you're better off having a good grounding in science and technology, and then let the companies you go work for teach you whatever coding they want you to do, and not have our schools do it, you know?
Yes, that's what I think suppose anyway. So, yeah. But right, well, we're going to have to finish up, yes, coming up to 12 o'clock. I'm going to have to finish up, and so we look forward to your programme. Oh, your programme's on tomorrow night, and you're on O.
Oh.
I can't believe you're on O already.
Neither can I.
It's just amazing, isn't it? The time has flown by. So what are you going to be talking about? What's O? Oh,
so O, the O's have it, tomorrow night's show is called. Mm. So we're going to look at Hugh O'Neill and Red Hugh O'Donnell and the flight of the Earls in 1607. So so they kind of, they fled Ulster. That was where their base was. Now there's a lot more to it than that.
Yeah.
Then we're going to move forward and we're going to look at Daniel O'Connell, and we're going to look at how he used he garnered the Catholic vote to get support for repeal of the Act of Union. So we're going to look at the two of them and see how did they change the cultural landscape of Ireland and maybe promote sectarianism.
Right.
Yeah.
Hmm. Very interesting. So listen to that tomorrow evening with Bernie Dwan from 6 till 7 tomorrow for the A to Z of historical blunders.
That's it.
Thank you, Bernie, for
Thanks,
joining
Adrian.
Me.
Thank you.